Your representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we have things to rejoice about. We're one day closer when Jesus comes back and solves every single problem. And we sing that song, we're going to lay down our sword and share it down by the riverside. And so we'll have a time of peace that this world has never known. And the Lord is getting ready to set up his kingdom on this world. And so we're going to be talking today about the well-known story of David and Goliath, which pictures the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back to this earth, destroying the Antichrist. I'd like to say today, I'm so glad to have my good brother, Clark Block, here. And now he has been married how many weeks?
Seven weeks.
And so he has a smile on his face, so it must be going good. And I thank the Lord for him, and he's a big help to me. And we have Pastor Al Davis here from Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and he is a great blessing. I listened to his program last week, and really good. So I'm going to give him an opportunity to make a little announcement here.
Oh, thank you, Bruce, and it's good to be on with you as always. And like I said, I'm Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We certainly invite people to visit. Also, we do have two programs here on the same station. We have every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock a live call-in program with questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And then we have an hour-long program Sunday nights from 11 until midnight. And that is actually the first program we started. And that's, a live call-in program from 11 o'clock until midnight every Sunday night, talking about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And we were kind of excited that just last Sunday we were able to expand that program onto a station down in Tampa, Florida. So we're here in Northeast Ohio. We're in, what would you call that, South Central Florida, I guess it is, down in that area, Tampa area, Central, West Central, something of that nature. But it's exciting to be on the air and helping out with Bruce Musselman here. So, but thanks again, Bruce.
Thank you, Preacher, very much. And so I'm going to ask you if you would look up 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 8 through 10, and then I'll let you read that in just a minute. But as we have mentioned before, when you go to a foreign country, you have to have a passport. And you get go downtown, get your birth certificate and information about you, and then go to the government, and they give you this passport. It tells where you were born, tells some things about you, has your picture, and so on. And when you, for instance, if you went to Israel and got off at Ben-Gurion Airport, they would ask you for this passport. So they'd check you out and find out who is coming into their country. And God has given us a passport, and our salvation is based on following the right prophet, following the right person, and salvation is important. Where we're going to spend eternity, we are created by God to live forever, and so God has given us a passport. And the other religious leaders, they don't really have one, and yet Jesus, when he came to this earth, he had a passport. And his passport was 39 books that were given, and we call it the Tanakh, or the Old Testament. And it tells every detail about his life and what he was going to do, and how he's going to die, how he's going to rise from the dead, his ministry, and so on. And so many, many stories in the Old Testament and things that really happen are a picture of Jesus. And today we're going to talk about Jesus and destroying the Antichrist. And the picture is given to us by this famous story of David and Goliath. And so the story starts out here, and it's actually history. And Goliath, in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, in verse 8 through 10, gives a challenge to Israel. Now, just recently, I understand that President Obama has stated that American planes cannot land in Israel because of the plane being shot down, so they'd have to go to another country and get on a ship and go there, if I have understood what has been stated on the news just recently. And the reason for that is that the war has continued on, and it's amazing. 2,000 years ago, they were fighting, and even 3,000 years ago, this battle between the Israel and the Philistines was going on, and here it is 3,000 years later, continuing on between the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael. And so the battle is still going on today in our time. And yet, at that time, they had a group of people called the Philistines, and they were fighting against Israel. And so today we have the people in the Gaza Strip and many of the Palestinians in a war with Israel, and Israel and the Palestinians fighting back and forth. I understand that in the last war that took place a few years ago, they had nearly 1,500 rockets rained down in northern Israel. And now in a town called Sderot, it seems like they have it gets rocketed every day from the Gaza Strip. And so this war is continuing on, it seems like, and it is going on today. But also, this story, which is actually history, will be repeated again in the near future. And finally, this war will escalate to the point that the world will be united against Israel, and Israel will actually be overrun. And at that time, they will call for the Messiah. They will call for Jesus, and at that time, he will come back. But this story is a picture of King David is a picture of Jesus, and Goliath is a picture of the Antichrist. And we know that the future of the battle is determined already, because God has already stated it. And this story draws a lot of prophecy together. Many different prophecies fit into this. The Bible is like a highly complex jigsaw puzzle that fits together. And if you look at the whole picture of it, it is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God in human form. Now, it starts off with Goliath, who is about 9 feet 9 inches tall, nearly 10 feet, and Goliath comes out, and he has the armies of the Philistines, and they challenge Israel. And so this man comes out, and so he begins to mouth off to the Jewish people in the Jewish-Israeli army. And he makes these following statements, and I'm going to ask Pastor Al to read that statement that he makes.
All right, and this is 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 8 through 9. And we read here about Goliath. It says, "And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together."
Now, he says here that in this passage that if he wins the battle, then if he wins the battle, the Israelis will be slaves to the Philistines. If the Israelis win, if the man comes out for Israel, then they will be slaves to Israel. And so he says, this Goliath, he says, "Give me a man." Now, Goliath is a picture of the Antichrist, and the Bible teaches, and this whole thing fits together with many, many prophecies, the Bible teaches that there will be an individual, it's called the Antichrist, who will come, and he will make a treaty, or he will confirm a treaty with Israel. Now, there has been a treaty with the European Common Market that has already been made to protect Israel. But when the Antichrist comes, it says he will confirm that treaty that has been made. And the Bible teaches that the Antichrist in the book of Daniel chapter 9 will come from the people that destroy the city and the temple in Jerusalem. It says, the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. So who was it that destroyed the city of Jerusalem and also destroyed the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD? Well, it was the Romans. So this individual who will attack Israel will come out of Rome. Now, it's very interesting that there are many Jews that follow and have studied what is called the Kabbalah. And in the Kabbalah, they have a book in there. It's called the Zohar. And in the Zohar, it states that the Messiah will come out of Rome. Now, in other words, Rome was the one that destroyed Jerusalem. And so Daniel predicts it. But in the Zohar, it also predicts that the Messiah will come out of Rome. Now, the Bible doesn't say that Christ or the Messiah will come out of Rome. So the Messiah comes out will be the false Messiah, the false Christ will come out of Rome according to Daniel and the Zohar. Now, the Zohar is not, really has satanic influence in it. So the false Christ will come out of Rome then according to a number of sources. And a treaty will be made, but he will confirm a treaty that has already been set up. And I read one time, maybe a year or two ago, where it talked about this treaty being made to protect Israel. But this individual, it says in Daniel chapter 9, he will confirm that treaty to protect Israel. And so he will do that. Now, after a while, the Bible says that he will rule. And then 3.5 years into that period of time, and it's a 7-year period, he will go to the temple. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter, it's about 3 or 4, it talks about he will sit in the temple of God and say that he is God. That is, this individual from Rome will make this statement, and he will break the treaty at that time. And that time, he will attempt to destroy Israel. Now, what is the purpose of the Jewish people? And they're always discussed all the time. You hear talk about Zionism, and they're going to take over the world, and all this stuff is going on all the time, and it's so much information about Israel. And we ought to say, what is the purpose of Israel? What is the Jewish people all about? Well, according to the Bible, God raised up the Jewish people to spread the knowledge of himself to the world. And so it was Jewish people that wrote the Bible. They wrote the Old and the New Testament. And they had made a treaty with God, or they had made a covenant with God at Mount Sinai that Jehovah would be their God. And Moses told him, he says, if you break this, he says, God is a jealous God, and if you step out on him, you will be judged very severely for this. But God's blessings on the Jewish people and also God's judgment of them is a revelation of God to the world. It's a picture of God to the world. And so also God is revealed in the Bible that God has used them to write. And you see that there's so many prophecies, and prophecy is mainly about the Jewish people in Israel. And always the Bible says if they would step out on God, they'd be scattered to every nation in the world. And of course that happened exactly as God said, they were scattered to every nation. But also these prophecies that state this over and over again, that even if they were scattered, that God would bring them back to the nation of Israel at the end of time. And at that time, they would go through tribulation, and Moses mentions this in the Torah, that he says, in the latter days, when you come into tribulation, if you seek God with your whole heart, you will find him. And so we see that although the great tribulation has not begun, we see that it is getting ready and is being set up for this, and the Jewish people are, as each year goes by, it is getting worse and worse for them, more and more problems, and the world is turning against them to a great extent with all the Muslim nations and so on, and the constant wars that they continue to fight. And right now, they're fighting a war right now with the people that are sending the rockets in from Palestine and so on. Now, in this war, they will have the Antichrist who will lead this. First, he confirms the treaty, and then he breaks the treaty, and he goes to Jerusalem and sits in the temple of God and says that he is God. And at that point, he demands worship of himself. And of course, probably many in Israel would refuse to do that, and he turns against them, and attempts to wipe them out, and they are practically overrun as a nation. At that point, they call for Christ, they call for the Messiah to come back. And Jesus shows up, and we read about that in Zechariah, and it says, "They shall look upon me whom they have pierced." It's right in the book of Zechariah in the Tanakh and the Old Testament. And they'll see the wounds in his hands and so on. And they will recognize him as the Son of God that they did not know and that they had not received as a nation. So in the Bible, these stories picture, and these stories are actual history, picture Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "In the volume of the book, it is written of me." I remember when we were coming here, we were talking about this, but I was reading, listening to a cassette tape about a Jewish man who became a believer in Jesus. And he said that he was close to his son, but his son was in college, and somewhere his son became a believer in Jesus. Somebody had showed him all the prophecies of the Bible and that talk about Jesus that they have in their own Jewish Bible. And so he said that his son said he had something very important to tell him. And so he came home and he said that his son told him, he says, "I have become a believer in Jesus as our Jewish Messiah." And he said at this time in his tape that he put out, he said, "My wife and I just began to weep." Because he said, "We looked at this as he was a traitor to everything that we believed and that Jesus was our enemy." And he looked at him, his son, as rejecting everything that he had taught him all these years. And his son said, "Why don't you just read the Bible?" And so this man began to read the Bible and investigate it. And the Bible is just full of information about Jesus before he ever came in the Jewish Bible. And as he began to read it, and as he began to study it, he saw that this whole Bible talked about Jesus. That was Jesus' passport. And he said, "In the volume of the book that is written of me." Now, King David was a picture of Jesus. And here's the points. First of all, in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 12, it said, David came from Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem. And so the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And the Bible predicts this in other places, and all these prophecies fit together. In Micah chapter 5, it states this, that "Thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou beest least among the children of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth who shall be rulers of my people Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting to everlasting." I ask children sometimes to find out what they know. Where was Jesus born? And they'll say Bethlehem. They usually know that. When was he born? They don't know that. Well, we get our time from when he was born. Born 2014 years ago. And we get our time from that. So he was born in Bethlehem. But I said, when did he begin? And they don't get that. But he always was. It says, "whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Only God existed forever, and he is eternal in time. He always will be, always was in the past. And so Jesus was from everlasting, according to Micah, the Jewish prophet. And so he took on a human body at that time. So David then was from Bethlehem, and David was fed his father's sheep. David was a shepherd of his father's sheep, and he took care of those sheep. And so Jesus is called the great shepherd of the sheep, and we are his sheep. And you know, when we come to him, Jesus said, "Whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." And people just think this can't be, this is illogical. But Jesus said, "All that the Father gave me, I have lost none of them." Millions of people have been saved. Now somebody says, "Well, I know somebody that said they were saved and they are no longer Christians," and so on. Well, 1 John, he says, "They went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been one of us, they no doubt would have continued with us." And when people say that this is a devilish doctrine, they better be careful, because Jesus said of his sheep, he has lost none of them. Somebody says, "Well, what about Judas?" Well, Judas is an example of someone that never did believe, although he was picked as an apostle, because all the other apostles called Jesus Lord. One of the things in salvation is, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You will never read that Judas ever called Jesus Lord. He was in there because he thought Jesus would conquer the Romans and he'd get a place in the government, but he never trusted him as the one who came and died for his sins. And so David was a shepherd of the sheep, so was Jesus. David fed his sheep, and so does the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Jesus talked about him being the bread of life. And he says, he that eateth of this bread shall never hunger again. And you receive Jesus one time. I remember one time, and I've probably mentioned this before, but I gave an invitation at my church, and a couple teenage boys came forward to be saved. Next week they came back to church on Sunday night, and I preached a gospel message and invited people to come and be saved. And the boys came up to be saved again, you know. So I said, boys, I thought you accepted the Lord last week. And they said, well, we enjoyed being saved so much we wanted to do it again, you know. Well, you don't have to be saved again and again. Some people believe in eternal insecurity, you know, but Jesus said that the sheep God gave to him, he never lost anybody. And if you truly repent of your sins and put your faith in Christ as Lord and Savior, it may not seem logical, but Jesus, by his own words, said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he says, I've lost none of the sheep that God gave me. So Jesus is the shepherd. If we had to keep ourselves, we'd do a miserable job and we'd probably all be lost. But Jesus keeps us. And when the sheep wanders away, he goes out in the mountains and he goes after us, and he keeps us. Now, David's also at that time, he came with a message, and he came with a message of victory. And Goliath had come out, and he had challenged the people. He says, give us a man. Now, I want to tell you, everybody's either following Satan, you may not know it or not, or following Christ. You see, out there is propaganda all the time that you're assimilating through books, magazines, television, newspapers, radio, all of this stuff that is against Christ, and you may not even know it. And everybody is either following Satan, who is the God of this world, or they're following Jesus Christ. And Goliath says, give us a man. Choose you. And God wants us to choose who we're going to follow. We cannot be neutral about Jesus. Was Jesus the Son of God? He had a passport, but not only that, he demonstrated he was the Son of God by his miracles. He said, believe me for my work's sake, if no other reason. You know, in his trial, nobody said that he did not do the miracles, because the whole nation, hundreds of thousands of people, saw him incredibly do miracles that you couldn't possibly fake. People that had leprosy and fingers eaten away and face eaten away, and Jesus come up and touch them. People that were born blind that people knew, and Jesus would restore their eyesight. People that had died, and he went to funerals, and Jesus raised them from the dead in front of crowds of people. And so you must decide that. And it depends where you spend eternity. All of us are going to live somewhere. And God knows, and you know, we're one heartbeat from eternity. Some people live long, some people live short. But one way or the other, one thing we're going to do, and that is we're all going to physically die. And we're all going to spend eternity in either heaven or hell. And so David comes with the bread of life. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That is, will never be separated from God. And we'll be with the Lord forever. Well, we have a short break and then we'll continue.
Is religious artwork allowed to be displayed on government property? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
There was an article in the Washington Post. It's about religious artwork at the Rotunda. The People for the American Way, it's an organization that says it promotes religious freedom and respect for diversity, said that the artwork raises questions about the proper use of Christian artwork in government buildings. What if they come against the artwork and take it out? What can we do?
If they're going to take this kind of posture of removing everything that has any religious connotation to it, I think we have to be prepared to meet them in court. And I saw the article you were talking about, and the idea that you would have every religious reference removed from the government buildings is outrageous, but it tells you that they're not very much in favor of tolerance at all, because they have no tolerance for any Christian convictions or artwork in this particular case that would have a Christian theme to it.
Stay informed, get involved, and make a difference. Visit the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Hard times happen. What do we do? Great things come our way. How do we respond? Hello, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Those are not trick questions, but I'm hoping they prompt the same response in your life. We run to God. We tell Him what's on our minds. Circumstances occur that could easily crush us. We run to the Father and we talk it over with Him. We're delighted with joy at a brand new baby or grandbaby or a much-needed job offer. Where do we go then? Again, to God, who cares about every detail of our lives. Run to Him.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
All right, we're talking today about David and Goliath, and this is a picture of what is going to take place very soon on a worldwide scale. And there's two armies, and they are fighting, and that is Israeli army is fighting the Philistines. The Jewish people are fighting Philistines. And David is a picture of Jesus, and Goliath is a picture of the Antichrist. And so David came from Bethlehem, and David was a shepherd, and so is Jesus, and he came from Bethlehem. And David came with bread. Jesus is the bread of life. And he was sent by his Father with the bread. Jesus was sent by God the Father with the bread of life. And Jesus said, "Whosoever eateth of this bread shall never hunger again." And he is the bread. And receiving his words that he died for our sins, he rose from the dead, we have eternal life, and we receive him as Lord and Savior. And then David comes on the scene, and when he comes, Goliath starts mouthing off, and he starts saying, mocking Israel and challenging them. And David then says, "Who is this individual that can challenge the armies of God? After all, we have the God of heaven and earth. He is the God that has all power in heaven and earth. He's the one that rules the stars and runs the stars. He's the one that created the universe. How can he say this against Almighty God?" And so David begins to encourage the people, and David then offers to fight this Goliath. And they tell David, they say, if you beat Goliath, if you kill him, you will get the king's daughter and you'll become wealthy in Israel. It reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ has a bride. And when we put our faith in him, we become part of the bride of Christ. And so then David again gets a bride, Christ gets a bride. And then David speaks victory to the people, and he says, this person cannot defy Almighty God. We have God on our side. And then when his brothers, David's brothers, hear this, they say, "Who do you think you are?" David was the youngest, and they said, "You're just talking big, and you're proud, and what are you doing here?" And so his brothers reject him. His family rejects him. And again, it is a picture of Jesus, because when Jesus came, Israel as a nation rejected him. They said, we don't believe in him. We don't trust in him as a nation. But of course, there has always been a minority of Jewish people that have received him. And today I know in number of Baptist churches that I've seen, there's Jewish people that are believers in Jesus. And I've met numbers of different ones. And Somebody said that up in New York City, why some of the people out there preaching Jesus on the street corners are Jewish people. I met a Jewish man downtown in Cleveland that was preaching Jesus. And so they, as a nation, reject him. But there will be a day when Jesus comes and rescues the nation that they will receive him also. Now, David offers to fight the battle for Jewish army, and he offers to fight. They were afraid because we're outgunned, we're outnumbered. Goliath is big, and Goliath is a picture of the Antichrist. He's 9 feet 9 inches tall. I read 6'6" in those verses, and so he's a picture of Antichrist who is 6'6". And his spearhead was 6 cubits or something. It was 6. And so they were outgunned, but Jesus offers to fight. And one day Jesus will come back, and he will take on the enemies of Israel. And, you know, he will take on our enemies. When you put your faith in him, you can fight Satan. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And, you know, Satan is primarily involved in religion. And so he has all types of things. So many people, they see everything out there. There's every kind of a religion you can imagine out there. And so they say, well, how do we know what to believe? And Jesus tells us how we know. Jesus said, thy word is truth. And we know that God's word is the truth. And we know where God's word is. Because the Bible says, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, it says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And the true text of the word of God, the King James translators translated from that true text, not from the corrupt text of Alexandria, but from the true text. It's 99% of the ancient church fathers and ancient manuscripts. And then God guided them in their translation. And so today, the word of our God shall stand. The other translations come and go. They're backed up by millions of dollars. They're advertising. They're on for a dozen years, and then they disappear. But the true text coming, translating into English and going out all over the world. I read recently that the NIV, which sold about 200,000 copies with all the advertising. Do you know how many copies the King James has had printed? 5 billion copies have been printed of the authorized King James Bible. God's word will stand, and we have it absolutely perfect. And, you know, when these people get on radio and television, and some of them, I can't imagine, they'll use the King James, they'll say the word of God is true, and they'll have it in their hand, and this Bible is true, and every word is true. Then they'll say, this is an unfortunate translation, it should read like this, a better reading is, and all that nonsense. And we're supposed to drop our holy Bibles at that point. And it just seems like the Satan's got into some of them, and they're doing that. And also, they're promoting new Bibles all the time. The Bible says that over and over, it says they spoke with one voice. You know, the two prophets, when Moses and Elijah show up during the tribulation, it says they spoke with one voice, and over you read that. They don't use versions that disagree with one another and disagree with the King James Bible. We have the Word of God today. That's what our program is all about. And you know, Jesus Christ, when we follow him, Jesus says, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me. And when Jesus says, we'll be judged by his words. How can we hear his words if we don't have them? The Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart. We have them today in the authorized King James Bible. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. And God has preserved it. You know, it says the word of God is quick and powerful. The great revivals that came, we mentioned last week, George Whitefield came with the King James Bible, turned up America upside down. Billy Sunday went to New York City, and he was a King James-only believer. And he had 123,000 converts in that revival meeting. D.L. Moody, who was a King James-only believer, he said he criticized people for correcting it. He was a King James, and God used him to win hundreds of thousands of people to Christ. Charles Spurgeon criticized people that correct the King James Bible. We're not some kind of new cult or something. We're saying something that the people that God has used in a tremendous way in the past have believed, and millions have believed that they have the Word of God. Paul says he thanks God when you received the Word of God, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. And so the modern versions, all of them believe it's just a translation. There's millions of people like myself and like many of the great men of the past have believed it is the literal words of God. And if it's not, where is it? Guys talk about the originals. Well, the guy that put that out, Westcott and Hort, man, they were evolutionists, Dolly worshipers, and every false thing you could imagine. And they used a corrupt Bible, and they put out a Greek text called the New Testament, the original Greek, and it was original with them, all right. It didn't come from the apostles. People have had the true Bibles all the way from the apostles to when the King James came out, and the King James lines up with hundreds of Bibles that have these verses in them. Now, David rejects human armor. And Saul wants to put on human armor. He is taken to King Saul, and Saul gets him decked out with the human armor, and David rejects it. He says, I'm not using this. Do you know false religion? King James, who is a spiritual man despite all the slander against him, said you could tell a false religion by the fact that they persecute. We don't use human armor. We don't go in and conquer a country and then force those people to convert. That's a false religion. We use spiritual weapons, and we use the only weapon we have is the Word of God. We preach to people, and there's a fellow named Al Kuhn that was very friends with Charlemagne back in the 8th century, and Al Kuhn was a Bible believer, and he said he set up the educational system in France, and he believed in believer's baptism, and he said, You shouldn't go in and force these people and go in and fight with them and so on, but send people with love in their heart and preach the gospel to them. And he told that to Charlemagne because he believed the word of God. And so David did not use human armor. Jesus did not use human armor. And we use the sword of the Spirit. We use the word of God. We just get out there and preach it and teach it. And Jesus taught us that we should go to the whole world. And he said, preach this, he said, preach repentance and remission of sins in my name. Persons willing to turn from their sin and their false religious belief, and their sins will be remitted. That is paid for. Jesus, you know, it's a shame when people say, I say, why did Jesus die? And they say, well, he died for our sins. That is true, but they don't understand it and believe it. If Jesus died for our sins and was punished for our sins, then we're not going to be punished for our sins. And God wants us to put our faith in the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead, and he's alive today to help us. When he died, he was punished for every sin that was ever committed or ever that we have ever committed. And today you can just say, Lord Jesus, I believe you. I trust in you that your death has paid for my sins. And when we die, the Bible says that absent from the body, present with the Lord. And the Bible says he is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. If you think that the doctors told you you're going to die and you're on your deathbed, brother, I'll tell you one thing. If you've trusted Jesus, the next minute you will meet God with exceeding joy without any record you've ever sinned. You say, that's hard for me to believe. You need to read your Bible. Jesus said, search the scriptures. If you call yourself a Christian, you need to obey Jesus and get that Bible open and start reading it. Read each chapter two or three times. Start in the Gospel of John and read that, and then go to Matthew and read that, reading each chapter two or three times, and read it consistently. And you won't be confused. Every falsehood, man, scripture verses just come to my mind. The reason I have this program is I was reading the Bible, and I wasn't taught some of these things that I'm saying in here. I was reading books that they never talk about God preserving his words. You know, I read this in the Bible where Jesus always appealed to what he had, never to originals. We believe the originals were perfect, but he always appealed to what he had. And we are to appeal to the Bible we had because that's what Christ and all the apostles did. They had copies of copies, but they believe God preserved it. And so I read this, and you don't have to worry about all the falsehood. You just read your Bible systematically. Don't jump in and jump out. God has commanded you to do this. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Your spiritual life is nourished by constant reading of the Word of God. So the devil has his philosophy out there, and that's how he destroys you, through the magazines, books, education, and so on. I had one person, he says, well, you know, when you go to college, the whole idea is to teach that there's no absolute truth. And that's just about sums it up. But we have absolute truth about why we're here, where we're going, about everything that we need to know. And we can know God. And in the Bible, we know God. And so David rejects human armor. Bible-believing Christians, Christianity given to us by Christ, never forces anybody. What's good to force them? That still wouldn't change their opinion. Now, David is cursed by the Philistines, and Goliath curses him. And today, people take the name of the Lord in vain. Do you know that if you take God's name in vain to emphasize a point, God says that shows you are an enemy of his. I read that in the Bible. You take his name in vain. And people put out movies. I saw a movie that just blasphemes Jesus, called every single evil thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the world is against him, and Goliath speaks against him. But Jesus will win. And I think how communism did everything to destroy Christianity and destroy faith in Jesus Christ. And yet the person that led the revolution against communism, Yeltsin, after 70 years of controlling the schools, the newspapers, the magazines, television, concentration camp, and killing millions, Yeltsin, the leader of Russia, gets on in front of the media and says, this Christmas we will celebrate the birthday of the Savior. And I am telling you, we are very, very close to that time when the whole world will celebrate the birth of the Savior. And you know where they're going to do it? The Feast of Tabernacles. They're going to go to Jerusalem, and the whole world will celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ as the ruler of the whole world. So David is, Goliath says, I'm going to feed you to the birds. Well, Goliath wasn't reading his King James Bible, because in the Bible it states that when Christ comes back, the armies of the Antichrist are coming out against Christ, and the birds will eat their flesh. And so David then says, no, you're not going to feed me. And he says, you're going to be fed to the birds of the air. And so David prophesies this in verse 45 through 47 of our chapter. Now, David takes a stone, and he destroys Goliath with the stone, the one unprotected place. And David takes the stone and hits him right in the forehead with this stone and crushes his head. Right there, there's a number of great prophecies, because God predicts that the stone cut out of the mountains without hands by God will crush the Antichrist in the book of Daniel. And so that stone was a picture of Christ. And also in the book of Genesis, it talks about the seed of the woman will bruise the serpent's head. In the King James, the word bruise has the meaning of crushed. And sometimes God gives meanings of words, which says, which by interpretation, that's not correct in the Bible. And so the bruising will be crushing the serpent's head. And so Goliath's head was crushed by the stone that David used. And so the Antichrist's head will be crushed. He will be destroyed. He will be crushed. David goes up to the Goliath, cuts off his head, and takes it to Jerusalem. And the Antichrist will be tried, and he will be taken to Jerusalem. And there he will be destroyed. And so Christ will destroy this leader of this world government that is set up. And then a great question is asked, and that is, in the end of the chapter, Saul says, whose son is this? You know, the leaders of Israel didn't know who David was. And you know, that's a picture of Christ. The leaders of Israel in the past have not really known who Jesus was, despite all the information in the Bible. They have not known. But there seems to be a change coming. And you know, the Israeli government, they had allowed TV programs to be sent to the Arab countries in Arabic, but recently they have allowed Christian TV to go on in Israel, and it's talking about Jesus put out by Israelis on that TV. I think that's an astounding thing, and I'm not going to say who, but recently a leading person in the Jewish community, a leading person, has stated that they believe in Christ. And I believe that they're hearing about Jesus. So I know one Jewish fellow writes books on prophecy, and they're hearing about Jesus. And when the situation gets so bad, and God says all nations will be gathered together against Jerusalem, and the city of Jerusalem will be overrun, in Zechariah chapter 12, Zechariah chapter 14, it states at that time that Jesus will appear before them, and they'll see the nails in his hands, and then they will be mourning. And God says, I'll pour out the spirit of grace and of supplication upon them. And then it says in the next chapter in Zechariah, there will be a fountain open for sin. You know, the Bible says, and we sing this song, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. And the Bible says in the New Testament that all Israel will be saved. The whole nation will turn to God. And the last thing that Jesus said when he was being tried, he says, you won't see me again until you see the Son of Man coming with power and great glory. And on Yom Kippur, the high priest went into the temple and took the blood into the temple, sprinkled on the mercy seat. When he came out of the temple, and it was a picture of heaven, when the high priest came out of the temple, that means that God Almighty had accepted the sacrifice, and Israel was forgiven. An atonement was made. They were forgiven for another year. But Jesus, he went into the temple in heaven, and he said to the woman, to Mary Magdalene, don't touch me, for I ascend unto my God, to your God. And he, it says, by his blood he entered the holy place. And as the high priest sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat in the temple in Jerusalem, Jesus entered the holy place in heaven with his blood. And there he sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat, and his blood is everlasting, and his blood is there to say that my sins are forgiven, your sins are forgiven, when we put our faith and trust in him. And in the Old Testament, they had to put their faith in the God of Israel, the faith in the sacrifice that they'd be forgiven. And we put our faith in the one eternal sacrifice of Jesus. The Bible says, by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And we put our faith in that sacrifice that he did 2,000 years ago. The Bible says that our sins are forgiven, and his blood is in a testimony of the fact that our sins are forgiven in heaven. And that's why when we meet God one day, we'll meet him with exceeding joy. If I had to meet him with sin on my soul at that day, I wouldn't have any joy or peace. But Jesus is coming out of the holy place, and he's going to meet Israel when he comes out, and all Israel will be saved at that day. But you could be saved today. And the high priest has gone into the temple, and he has sprinkled his blood. His blood is a testimony that our sins have been paid for, but you must exercise faith in him and trust him. And you can't trust in your good works, in your church membership, in your denomination, but you can trust in him. You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, this program is saying we have the word of God today. And I tell you, a Bible school or a preacher that tells you that we don't, and when they correct it, that's what they're saying. They're just saying it's a translation. No, it's far above a translation. Jesus said, the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And the Bible says the word of God liveth and abideth forever. And so we have the word of God today. And the word of God tells us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? God's judgment. Saved from hell. Saved from death. Saved from destruction. Saved to eternal life. Saved to a home in heaven. What a wonderful thing, and it is all here in God's word, and this is the word of God that has come down to us from Christ and the apostles. God has preserved it by his power, and thank God we have it today. Well, God bless you. You know, if you want to call us up, our time is about up. How much time do we have there, engineer? We have about 1 or 2 minutes. Okay, you can call us after the program. Would you give the number?
Sure. The toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, or the local number is 216-901-0933.
Could you give that once again? I know they heard it, but just give it if we have
right.
any time.
The toll-free, 888-677-9673, and local number 216-901-0933. And Bruce Musselman will take your call even after the program goes off the air here in a moment.
Well, God bless you. You have a wonderful day, and thank God for Jesus. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, and Jesus could come out of the temple right now and take us in the rapture to heaven. And what a day that will be. Let's praise him this day and give him thanks. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
The preceding